I can guarantee you now, as we kickstart the second hour of our time together, that you want to stick around all the way till 6 o'clock. You don't want to go anywhere. You don't want to change the station. You don't want to take the shortcut home. You want to praise God for the traffic, because the conversation we're about to have right now is one of those that I've been excited about since last year, December. We've been trying to set this up, and I'm so glad that my next guest is finally joining me. She is the representation of sheer determination as she continues to beat the odds that are set before her, even before she turned 1 year old. She endured ridicule, rejection, and has managed to find healing. Her inner beauty, her strength, and hope in God to lead her to purpose. And she is now an author, an entrepreneur, a podcaster, and strong woman with an indomitable spirit. So I'm talking about the one and only Itu Meleng Siku. Good afternoon, Itu.
Afternoon, Khosi. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Look, I actually think I'm doing this wrong. I actually need to say your name again.
Yes.
And then I must do the right thing,
yes,
which is to go, well, give it up, ladies and gentlemen, for Itu Meleng Siku Bedi.
Come on now.
It's the horns, right? Oh man, it's so good to have you joining us this afternoon. I use that word indomitable spirit because sure, that's from your book.
Yeah.
That's a very big word, hey?
Yeah.
How many books do you read other than Rick Warren? Like, tell me about the books you read. No one just uses indomitable.
Indomitable, darling.
Yeah.
I went to school for it. You know, I bought this English. I always say that. My mom paid a lot of money for this English.
So you're going to use it. You're going to absolutely
use it. I'm going to use it. Do you know what I mean?
Itu, I think your story is one that I've been really looking forward to sharing for a while. And I think it's an absolutely powerful story that many people need to hear, need to be encouraged by.
Yeah.
And I want you to finish the picture, you know, of the gist of your story. We spoke about how you were beating the odds that were set before you turned one. We know that you are a burn victim at 11 months old, and because you were sleeping on the bed and the candle that fell. Tell us a little bit more of that picture of what happened in a bite size.
So I was 11 months old and I was sleeping on the bed. And this is my mom says it, you know, I was wearing a beautiful pink dress that day, and she had just put me to bed. And 35, 45 minutes later, she started smelling smoke. And so now, like, she's looking, you know, everywhere in the kitchen, nothing is burning. And then she gets to the bedroom and then she finds me burning on a bed with a 70 degrees Celsius fire.
Hmm.
So now she picks me up from the bed and she grabs me. And as she does that, my right hand literally stays behind.
Sure.
She rushes me to hospital. They put me in a coma for 3 months. They had a white glove on my left hand. And literally every single day, a finger would drop inside of that glove.
Sure.
Until I was only left with one thumb and one small little half hand that we call a stompy, you know. My left ear was completely burnt off. My face was badly burnt. My brain scales were showing.
Hmm.
And also the right hand side of my body was badly, badly burnt. I was so burnt that I've had to have over 104 surgeries just to fix me up.
Sure. And I mean, you know, we hear this now and the adult me is trying to process this and thinking, oh my goodness. But I mean, it took a while for you to realize that actually, hey, I am a little bit different. I mean, you didn't notice this for a while.
For 9 years.
Sure.
And now I'm sitting in class and I'm thinking, I'm a princess. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because I've been taught that I'm a princess, you know, I'm a little beautiful Barbie girl. And this fellow learner of mine says to me that, actually, you're so burnt, you look like franchise meat. And
sure.
I'm like, what do you mean? And when the whole class laughed at what he was saying, I was like, oh my God, so they actually agree with him? And then I had to go back and look at myself in the mirror. And I was like, oh crap, he's actually right. And how easy is it for somebody to say something to you that will immediately just break your low self-esteem, your self-esteem? And now from a high self-esteem, he literally crippled me to a low self-esteem, to a point where I felt like I'm not beautiful, I'm a ghost, I don't belong, I don't want to live. Let me just die, you know. And that led me to try and commit 3 suicide attempts.
And I want to actually speak about that. I mean, you tried it at the age of 5. At the age of 15, you tried it 3 times, basically, is the point of it.
The first one, I was in grade 5.
In grade 5, yeah. Not the age of 5, in grade 5.
And then the second one, I was 15 years old, and I tried it with my late brother. That didn't work. And then the last one, I was in grade 11, and I took 300 pills, drank them, wrote a note to my mom, and I said, "Hi, Mom, thank you for your love, thank you for your sacrifices, but I just want to be here."
Now, when you do it 3 times and you realize the 3rd time that this is not happening, like, at what point do you then, like, did you ever think, okay, maybe there's something more to live for? Or did you, like, did it cross your mind that, how is it not working?
Not at that point. Let me tell you, I was so deep in depression that I just felt like, this awful God, can you just not let me die? I hated God for a good 19 years. And I was just like, this man is so mean. I'm trying to take away this pain, this anguish that I'm feeling. And he's just saying no.
Denying you the exit.
Yeah, he's like, no way.
Yeah.
And it's only a year later, really, when I found out that it's because I had a purpose, you know. And I remember that day, it was so funny. I was going to my friend's house, and we sort of like had a date, you know, that day. And she said to me that, "Hey friend, my sister's around, da, da, da." And I was like, "Oh great, yeah." And then the sister had a friend who was coming over. So now she was like, "Listen, I need to get rid of these 2 girls. Like, thank you, bye. Okay, this is my house.
You're crowding
my space." And then she then drove us to her church. And I was like, "Why are you taking us to church?
You're cramping my stuff."
Yeah. And I was like, "No ways. Why?" So now my friend and I were like, "You know what? Listen, we are just going to get there. And then, like, we are gone." You know what I mean? So, like, and I was just like, "I don't want to go." And so she was taking us to a church because there was like a youth brunch.
Yeah.
And then we got there. And here's the first thing that happened that broke down my walls. One was that when I said hi, they saw me. The youth saw me. None of them were staring at my scars. None of them were looking at me weirdly, like on some, "Okay, like, what happened to you?" You know what I mean? That was number one. I was like, "Oh, so they see me like a normal person?"
Yeah.
Number two, then the youth pastor said to us, "I just want to have like a quick chat with you guys, you know?" And I said, "Yeah, sure. No problem. Ugh, you know, I'm used to this."
Can't say no, it's fine.
Exactly, right? And then we went to his office, and the first thing that he spoke about was purpose. And then he said, "Do you know that every single thing that happens to you happens for a certain purpose?" And I was like, "Really? Like, what purpose could this possibly serve?"
Yeah.
You know, and that was the day when I gave my life to Christ in 2007 at December. And literally things just worked so...
It's like it just started tipping over. It's like everything started moving.
Yeah, it was just so weird. Like, literally the next week, I then came across that book by Rick Warren.
We're going to chat about that in a moment. We're going to talk about that book in a bit. And I want to pause you over there, because I love what then happened when you do find out what your purpose is. And you say in grade 12 how the Lord laid it on your heart that your purpose is to bring hope and healing to his people.
Yeah.
We're going to chat about that in a moment. It's Itumeleng Sekhupedi joining me right here on the Afternoon Drive with Khosi. You want to stick around for this conversation? Looking forward to also getting your messages on the WhatsApp line, because I can tell you, this is going to be a great conversation. Such a beautiful song. It's Tribal featuring Doe on this one. It's titled New One, as well as Montal Moore. Still sitting with us is Itumeleng Sekhupedi, who's joining us right here on the Afternoon Drive. And I'm telling you now, you still want to stick around. There's so much more that she's going to be sharing with us. Itu, I want to challenge you to do the traffic report for us. I've heard you've got some background in broadcasting and something along those lines.
Not in traffic.
But you know what? I believe in you, and I think you're going to be able to do this for us.
Impact 103 Traffic.
All right, let's take a look at what's happening on the roads for you this afternoon. As we take a look at the capital city of Tshwane, we start with good news. Traffic seems to be flowing smoothly. However, as we move further south to the city of Johannesburg, there was an earlier accident on the N1 southbound after the Willifontein Road. The right lane seems to be affected, and some queuing traffic can be expected from just after Samrand Road. This is also causing some traffic to pile up on the N1 North bound due to spectator value. This can be expected from the Buccleuch interchange. There is some queuing traffic on the N3 southbound that can also be expected from the Buccleuch interchange all the way till the Gululies interchange. And remember, you can always be my eyes and ears of what you see on the road. Do this by sending us a message on WhatsApp on 071-364-0376 or tweet us at Impact103 for Impact Afternoon Drive. I am Itumeleng Sekhupedi.
Hey! Hey! Oh, okay.
Well done.
Hey! Okay. No, you've got this covered. You've absolutely got this covered. Oh, man. Absolutely love it. On that note, this traffic update was proudly sponsored by Quips. Quips is an AA, quality assured, approved independent dealer that is RMI registered. The latest diagnostic equipment is used to ensure accurate diagnostics. So for peace of mind and quality that you can trust, call Quips on 012-335-3333. And I'm sure they'll be able to assist you. Stick around. Itumeleng is still with us right here on the afternoon drive. And you want to hear the rest of her story and just how God has been able to move through her life. Some groovy tunes coming through over here from Sewa with Lord of Heaven's Armies. You're listening to Impact 103's Afternoon Drive with Corsi, keeping you company all the way till 6 p.m. Of course, I'm not alone. I'm joined by the lady who has got some amazing stories to share, who's got a testimony to share that is definitely encouraging me, if anything's to go by. And there's a quote that I'd love to read as we get into the second part of our chat from Rick Warren that says, "We are products of our past, but we don't have to be prisoners of it."
Yeah.
Tell me about what this book means for you.
Oh, this
purpose-driven life, that
is. This book changed my entire perspective of life, of God, really. Because, like I said, like, I hated God. Like, for me, it was just like, how could such a so-called good God, who is omnipresent, who is supposed to love us in an end, allow something like this to happen? And when Rick Warren said this happened for a certain purpose, God doesn't make mistakes. Ooh. And I think when I saw it, I was like, what? So this didn't just happen to me. Then what had to happen for me after that was to seek my purpose, was to find out what is my purpose. And then I read a book by Joyce Meyer, where she says talk to God. You know, and I started talking to God, and I was like, you know what, God, you are gonna tell me what my purpose is. Like, why did you allow this to happen to me? Rick Warren says it didn't just happen just in jail, it happened for a certain purpose. So what is my purpose? And I remember so much, I prayed, and I would sit and not talk, like, right, like, for a while, like, waiting for God to respond.
Waiting for him to speak to you. Yeah.
Just, like, talk to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that would mostly lead me to sleep. But this one day, months later, I heard, and that was the first and the last time when I heard God's voice. And he said, your purpose is to bring hope and healing. And then he kept quiet.
Sure. And I mean, what's beautiful about that specifically is your story is doing exactly that.
Yeah.
You know, it's bringing people hope, definitely, and bringing them healing from internal scars. And I love how you've then decided to pen it down into your book. And in your book, you speak about how healing is a process. It's not a one-time off event.
No.
It takes time.
It takes time. And you have to take that journey. Because once you do it, then it's done. Like, now, I don't have to struggle with me waking up now every single day. It's done. I've gone through that healing journey. It took me 3-4 years, let's say, maybe even 5, to get me to a point where I'm now okay with the person that I am. I love who I am. And for me, seeing what God has done through my life, through these past years, Him working from within, I never ever have to say to myself, get up, you're beautiful, don't worry about your scars. It's done.
Yeah.
I don't ever have to deal with that again. Mm. Now I'm now dealing with like other problems like business and children and marriage and da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
I've moved beyond my scars now. Yeah.
So now I'm way past it because it's a journey that I took with God. And thank God, God heals you.
Yeah.
Right? Because when He does it, it's done.
When I'm thinking about your book, you speak about how you had to go back to 9-year-old
Iku.
You had to go back to all the different years and the different spaces in your process of healing to be able to pin it down so well. What would you say was the most difficult story for you to share, or maybe one that you wanted to keep back, or you struggled to be vulnerable in that area, but you still did it anyway in the book?
It was definitely feeling vulnerable about why I wanted to commit suicide.
Mm.
Like for you to get back to that place, that dark place of you seeing the pills and you saying, this is it, I'm gonna drink them. And like those thoughts, those emotions, feeling those emotions again, because I had to, for the sake of my reader, I had to tap back into those emotions. Because you can't just tell people, I tried to commit suicide. Yeah, sure. But now there are millions of other people right now that want to commit suicide, right? And now when you are just like brushing through it, it seems like it's not a big of a deal. And it really was. Like being in that dark place where you're like, I see nothing else except for me to die. I had to take my reader back there so that they themselves could see themselves in my story and they could say, you know what? I relate with how you are feeling.
Hmm.
I see it. I know that feeling. And now because of what God has done through my life, it's also then evident to say that you don't need to stay there.
It's given them hope.
You know what I mean?
Hmm.
It immediately says, because of her story, I can make it, you know, as well.
Yeah.
I can also heal. And I say this all the time, depression, God healed depression.
Mm.
I was there for 19 years and God healed me. God said, girl, do you know who you are?
Come on.
You're a masterpiece.
Come on.
You are the apple of my eye.
Come on.
But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Mm-hmm.
He did not say, just because you've got one hand and one finger, then you can't accomplish. No, he said you can do all things.
Yeah.
Through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things, me. And when I read the word, I personalize it. I literally see God speaking to me in that moment and saying, baby girl.
Baby.
You are more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when you see it and you receive it and you believe it, it changes your entire life.
You say something so powerful. You started to use the term where you say, you're not a burned victim. You are a burned victor.
Yes.
Because you're not looking at it from a perspective of being a victim.
Yeah.
First, a victor.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a beautiful picture of how you've managed to pivot from your life from that point, you know, through the 19 years of struggling with that depression. And you've pivoted so beautifully. You're an entrepreneur now.
Yeah.
You're an author now. You're doing some great work. But also, at the start of the interview, you speak about how the fire that burned you was started by a candle.
Mm.
And then you go and start a candle business.
Yes, I mean, why not?
I mean,
let's
like,
make money out of this.
How did this come about? How did you get to that? How did you go to, because most people would be afraid of it. And you were just like, no, I'm starting a business out of it. Were you afraid of it? Or did you just want to start it?
I had a phobia for candles.
Ah.
In fact, I had a phobia for anything that was hot.
Yeah.
Like gas heaters, electric blankets, you name it, like anything. But for me, the candles made sense because I couldn't even light a candle, right? And now me not even being able to light a candle, like for me, it was just like, you know what? I'm going to have to face this phobia.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to face it head on and say, I'm not scared of you.
Yeah.
And I started making candles.
That is fantastic. Like, that's a story in and of itself.
Yeah. And I started making candles, and then I made scented candles. Mm. I made all of these luxurious, you know, candles. And I was just like, Lord, thank you.
Yeah. Turning beauty from the ashes. I mean, that's amazing, yeah. Right? Yeah, that is absolutely amazing. But I do know, this is the part I was hoping you'd tell me, because you say, I've heard you before saying, the reason why you actually went for candles is because your friends were telling you that, girl, there's going to be some man who's going to rock up. And he's going to want to serenade you and set up a candle night dinner.
And you're going to run away. And you're going to run away and say, oh my God, this guy's trying to burn me again.
But it's amazing. I think it speaks so much towards how in another place could be a prison. Exactly. It sets you free so well. And I mean, it doesn't stop there. I mean, you intend to make a movie from your story working with Tyler Perry.
Yes.
Because your dreams now are... It's like how God has made you believe again, yeah, that anything is possible.
Absolutely anything. And my story is bringing so much glory to God. And for me, it's just like, Lord, I'm your vessel. I'm here for you. And whatever it is that you want me to do on this earth, I'm here.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? God has created me one, you know, out of me.
Yeah.
He has created a diamond. He's made me a masterpiece. So my story from here moving onwards is me waking up each and every single day, bringing glory to God and saying, look at what God is doing through my life.
Mm.
I was the worst. I was the pits of the pits. But God has taken me, that one girl who thought she was the most ugliest girl in the whole wide world. Like, she even thought that, you know, like she was a ghost.
Sure.
And now look at what God is doing in her life. Every single day, God is just like shocking me every single day with like new opportunities, saying, look at this, look at this. And I'm like, of course I can do this.
Yeah.
Because I can do all things. Remember, I can do all things. So now for me, it was like, I want my story to be global, mm-hmm, not just in South Africa. My story has to be global, because imagine how many other people are living with internal scars, and those scars are eating at them, and those scars are making them not reach their full potential. But when they see this girl with a 70 degrees Celsius scarred face, with one hand, with one finger, doing all of these amazing things, come on. Like, there are just certain things that when you look at, you're just like, that can only be God.
You know what? What you're saying, you're reminding me of a video, and we're wrapping up our time together, but I must play this clip where I remember where you fetched me. You went and collected me while I was sitting comfortably in my house and said something that made me reconsider my life. And yeah, I actually just want to play the clip.
We all have the power within us to reach our full potential, purpose, life. Come on. I don't even have hands. But I'm reaching my full potential. I'm reaching my full life. I wake up every single day and I dress up and I show up and I rock it. You know why? Because we all have that power that lives within us. And Lao Tzu says it best. And he says, mastering others, that is called strength. But mastering yourself, now that is called true power. The truth of the matter is, we all have a story to tell. It's about how you rise up that matters. So come on, huh? Let's show the world what we're made of.
I love this so much. And it fetched me because you were like, excuse me, I've got one hand and a thumb. So what are you doing about your life? You know, as we wrap up our time together, there's someone who's listening right now who may be listening to you and thinking, Itu, you don't know about the scars I carry internally or externally. And they feel like because of them, they can't go for their dreams. They can't be in pursuit of their purpose from God. And then even if they know it, to pursue their purpose and just like run for it. What do you say to them who may be feeling this way?
I'd say that Jesus Christ said one thing, and he said, I have come on earth and I've done great exploits, but I want you to do greater, because the one that lives in us is the same one that lived in Christ Jesus. And therefore, again, I'm going to quote that quote again by Lao Tzu, where he says, mastering others, that is called strength, but mastering yourself, now that is called true power. Once you can master yourself with the one that lives inside of you, listen, you become unstoppable.
Itumeleng Sekhu Pedi joining us right here on the Afternoon Drive. I've got nothing left to say, but thank you. Thank you for your yes. Thank you for your courage. And thank you for not keeping your story to yourself, to letting your story not just, just keep in your community, to go to all of South Africa, which includes us, and ultimately looking forward to it going global. And we'll say, hey, she came to Impact. Please recognize. But thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for committing, even in the times we don't see your tears, your hard times, the worry and the doubt. And still you said yes. And today we can celebrate that, and we can see the evidence of God's goodness through your life because of that. And I always say, Revelation says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. Yeah. And your testimony right now that you just shared allows somebody else to overcome. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun, and I really hope that people will look at my life and they will see God's power, and they will realize that the same power that God has done over my life, he can also do in their lives as well.
And just like that, that's where we park it for this afternoon, because man, oh man, it's been absolutely amazing. And then we'll talk about this fetching that you do in your videos, because it feels a little bit personal at this point in time. Feels a little bit personal. It's almost time for us to wrap up our time together, and then of course hand over to the evening programming of Impact 103.